I will be reading Luke 24, verses 13 through 24. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that he had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him."
Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took a seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road, and when he explained the scriptures for us?" They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, "The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread. This is the word of God for a people of God.
You may be seated. Jesus joined them on their journey. It's great scripture. He joined them and they didn't know it was him. It was that same day. It was the same day that would have been the day the tomb was found empty on Resurrection Day. Scripture tells us Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. And what's stunning, it's really almost laughable, is they didn't get it. They didn't know who he was. It really makes me wonder lots of things. Why didn't they? What was the deal? Was he just so different looking? Or were they so filled with their grief that they just didn't see? Those are all great questions, and they're questions we'll never have the answers to. It'd be great for conversations around the table sometime, but we really don't know why they didn't know who he was. They were so focused on their own stuff, their own disappointment, their own small world of now what happens. They couldn't see what was right before them all along. The thing is, the story of the Emmaus Road is about a whole lot more than disciples who didn't exactly get what was going on. Because once again, annoying as it is, this scripture is not just about Jesus. It's about us. The question is, will we notice? When will any one of us open our eyes and get out of our mundane reality and notice Christ on the journey with us? Will our eyes be opened or opened again today? When will we recognize Christ by our side? Will you join me as we pray? O loving, ever-present God, do forgive our self-absorption. Forgive us for being consumed with our pain and our wants and desires, so much so that we fail to notice you by our side, sharing the journey, carrying our load. Forgive us for doubting your faithfulness, your presence with us always. Especially on this day, and especially for our newest members and our most exhausted and most discounted guests, we pray. We pray for renewed vision and for clarity of purpose and for an expansive love of those we claim we do not like and most certainly do not fully understand. Remind us this day that life is a shared journey. Remind us we live together in community with one another and with you. Oh God, do restore us. Heal our brokenness so we might grow to be your love for all people. Again this day, I humbly ask for your help as I work to bring a fresh word to your people. Do help me stay out of your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture that you heard Haley and James read just a few minutes ago is commonly known as the Emmaus Road story. It is the lectionary text today. It is the text that is assigned for this date and likely will be preached on in churches of all denominations all over the country, if not the world. It's once again wonderfully appropriate for what is happening in our lives and in your life today. It speaks to us in our own numbness and our pain and our worry about what's next, about our futures and our families and our city and our country and our world. This is one of seven post-resurrection stories in the gospel. And no, I didn't count them, but somebody else does. Seven post-resurrection stories about Jesus, but this one is unique in Luke alone. The resurrected Christ appears to Cleopas and an unnamed companion. We're told they're discussing all that has happened. We'd call it something else. They're crabbing. And again, we'd say that another way, were we not here in church together. Because we do that. We know how that is when stuff gets really bad and you're with close friends and you need to process what's going on. And so we do. And then some of us feel better just because we named the pain. So their return to Emmaus after having been in Jerusalem on this particular year must have been very different than all the other years when they'd gone to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And this clueless stranger comes up to them. This stranger, so they thought, and interrupts their crabbing, their conversation. And they tell the stranger all about Jesus. They tell him how promising things had looked. How impressive Jesus was with his teaching and his mighty acts. And then things went way wrong, very wrong. And so there was nothing left for them to do but go back home, dragging their feet in the dirt and the dung of the road of the day. They hoped that he was the one that was going to make a difference, that was going to redeem Israel and change their lives and many. That's what Cleopas was explaining. They had hoped. Their road and the path quickly had become the road of broken dreams. It's a road that many of us know well. Stuff did not work out how we'd hoped. Things happened. Horrible things. Things that we hope do not happen to our friends and our family, our children, our grandchildren. Oh God, don't let those things happen. And the reality is, the stuff happens to good people, people we know and love and care about. And yet, oh my gosh, how life holds joy. Such great, profound joy. And reasons to get up and get out of bed every day. And you saw eight of them this morning stand right in front of you. There will be pain, and things will not always be like we had hoped. And yet, may we see the joy that is there right now. before us. One of the great joys of these past 6 weeks that we've journeyed through confirmation together is all about the relationships that they built with one another, the relationships that I got to build with them, and the relationships they built with their sponsor and all the sponsors together with our youth. Each of the sponsors came to at least one of their meetings, and they shared with the youth their faith journey, their stories. They're all different. How they came to understand who God was in their lives and why they came to this church. If I really would have been on my toes, we would have recorded them. You would have loved to have heard how different and how gut-wrenching some of the stories shared were. They told the youth why they keep coming back here and how they grew up in a church or how they had not grown up in a church and how that somehow God spoke to them and continues to define them. And over again, you all heard, it's a process. It's a journey. We keep learning and discovering and growing. Each story different. Just like each of you is different. We are unique, and God most certainly understands that, since God is indeed our creator and sustainer of all. Jesus is made known to each of us again and again when and where and how we will take notice. Jesus is made known even when we may not be paying attention. I know it's true. I didn't know Jesus, really know Jesus. I knew about him. I didn't know him until I was a junior at KU. We attended Easter in my family. Well, most Easters, if it was convenient. We never attended Christmas Eve service because that was not convenient. I finally did attend one Christmas Eve service. I had no idea that many people went to Christmas Eve service, but I was dating a guy at that time, and he was kind of cute, and he invited me to go to church with him, so I did like we would all do. I went. To say that my faith was shallow is an understatement. We also went on Mother's Day sometimes, because that was a big deal for my grandma. But that was it. For my faith journey, it was sort of this spotty, show up once in a while kind of time. Didn't so much find a need for God. I certainly wasn't looking for God or Jesus, either one. You see, the tape that was played in my family of origin, what I learned was work really, really hard, do your best, and then do better. Be very independent. And you will be successful. You'll be rewarded for all of that. Never was there a mention of you can't do this on your own. You need to rely on someone bigger than you. So my lesson from early life had to be amended, you must be thinking, or I wouldn't be standing here in front of you. Because I was shallow. Myself today would not so much like my previous self. I was very self-absorbed and probably a good metaphor for what my life was like is like one of those bird baths that has been out in the sun far too long and lots of the water has evaporated out of it and it's just kind of yucky, murky. I needed to be refreshed. Rejuvenated, refilled, and I didn't even notice. And I certainly didn't notice or see Jesus anywhere because when you're totally consumed with yourself, that's pretty easy to not notice. Because I was successful. I'd done what my parents had told me to do, and I was pretty successful. Excellent grades, made lots of friends, was a member of a sorority, and I'd recently been elected their president. I spent time with the dean of women in her home. It was awesome. And all lots of other women leaders at the University of Kansas at that time. I was so full of myself. and I had reason to believe that I had every right to be full of myself. And then we had a guest speaker at our sorority house one evening. It was early in the spring, and I did not want to go, but it was part of my job to escort the house mother to those sorts of gatherings. So I was there because I had to be there. I had no interest in the speaker, and I will tell you that I was counting the minutes until I would be free, not knowing the freedom that was coming. The speaker was another student, and I think, if I can remember, because it was a while ago now, I think there were three of them. And they were from an organization that I knew nothing about except that I knew I didn't like them. They were from the Campus Crusade for Christ. Those of us at the University of Kansas at that time disparagingly called them Jesus freaks because they would hand out little tracts of information about your faith and your faith journey on campus. And we'd avoid them. They were weird. It was so not who I was. And there I was, partially present. I know some of you are partially present right now. And thank you for nodding once in a while. It does encourage me. I don't remember anything they said, really. I don't, until at the very end. And for some reason, when the speaker was getting ready to pray at the end, I kind of perked up. Well, maybe it's because he said, as we close, we'll pray. And I'm like, yo, good. And I tuned in. And even now, I remember what he said, or at least a version of it that now has become part of the tape that plays in my head. I remember because it changed my life. He said, Father, and that was his language. You maybe notice I don't pray to God using Father language that much. That's a whole nother sermon. But he said, Father, forgive us for trying to control our lives. Forgive us for only giving you a portion of who we are. We give of ourselves like we do when we take out our wallets and give $1 to a person in need. And we keep the rest and our credit cards to ourselves to manage and control. I still can see that image in my head. The big fat wallet, all that we have, and me thinking, I'll just get a dollar out. There. And the prayer continued and said, help us let go. Help us commit all of who we are to you through Jesus. Help us lay down all that we have in gratitude to you. And then he invited each of us to make a silent commitment. Again, I didn't want to be there. I was just waiting for this to come to an end so I could go do whatever it was that I thought I was going to do. And when that prayer ended, I was profoundly aware of Jesus with me. Now, I know that sounds weird. It was weird then. It sounds weird now. Actually, when I was writing my papers for ordination, one of my mentors at the time said, don't put that in there like that. They'll think you're weird. This is for my ordination. Because we don't talk about profound faith changes in our lives too terribly much. We're not comfortable with that. That's not who we are, and yet we heard those stories, didn't we? So Jesus was like right there, and it was so real that I like was looking around the living room where I was sitting thinking, so do y'all, it was like right at my shoulder. And a friend that I trusted and that I knew was religious, I turned to her later and I said, could we go for a walk? She said, sure, what's going on? She smiled at me kind of funny, and I said, I'm not sure. We walked across KU's campus, and I began to talk about this profound presence that was with me. And she said, well, what's it look like? And I said, I don't know. It's just like a feeling of Jesus is with me, and I guess it's the image I've always had of Jesus as a kid, but I've never felt him with me before. It was just a picture on a wall. She said, that's awesome. She said, you know, I think it's the beginning of something new for you, and we'll go to church together on Sunday. Well, that was a shock. I lived with these people, and I didn't know they went to church on Sunday. There were a whole bunch of them, college students that got up early on Sunday morning, and they went to church. Who knew? I didn't know. And it was amazing. There were people I lived with, and they all got in cars, and we went to worship. First United Methodist Church in Lawrence, Kansas. There were a whole lot of college kids there, not just from where I live. There were all kinds of college kids there. Again, I was stunned. I didn't know that was happening on Sunday morning in Lawrence, Kansas. Who knew? You see, I share my story with you not because I'm particularly proud of it. Actually, you can probably tell it makes me a little uncomfortable. But I share it with you because I know that Jesus makes himself known in many different ways. I know that he comes to us so that we'll pay attention. And not all of you, God bless you, are as numb and self-absorbed as I was growing up. Some of you actually had parents that went to worship on days other than Easter. And you had Sunday school teachers that shaped your life and encouraged you and taught you, and you're so grounded in your faith that somebody like me that never went to church except if I had new shoes because previous church shoes didn't fit, you wouldn't get what that was like. It is an experience that is unique for all of us and yet the same for all of us. At some point, we know there is this realness to our faith. And it's so hard to put a finger on and acknowledge and explain, but there is something that compels us to be different, to search, to yearn to be closer to God. Now, I am certain that Jesus, or God's Spirit if you prefer, is with us and within us always. Now, on most days, although not as profoundly disruptive as that spring night years ago, I am aware of God with me in all I do. Now I'm not so consumed with being the perfectionist I was told I had to be, but instead allowing God to work through me and guide me and us and to listen and actually to stop talking sometimes so that I might hear what God might have planned for any of us and all of us. I am certain that I am not unique, that God is doing the same for each of you and all of us, working to be made known. Cleopas and his companions trudged along the 7-mile road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. I was trudging through college. They were replaying all that had happened and struggled to make sense of it. Making sense of life is a common theme we all share. Doesn't matter if you're still in school. Doesn't matter if you're in an elementary school or if you're about to be out of high school. There is so doggone much we do not know. From what I've experienced and from the experience of our confirmation sponsors have shared, I'm convinced that many of us have been blind to what is right before us as we journey on this road of life. And then something happens and we do see. At times, life is far from pleasant. At times, it seems purposeless, shallow, without meaning. And we, at times, cry out to God, desperately seeking answers to the incomprehensible. We want that which has disrupted us and our plans to be answered. In the midst of all of that, may we understand, may we remember that it was in their despair that the stranger on that road made himself known. It was on that road and on whatever road each of us journeys this day that the travelers are reminded. Christ is not the one who wins the power struggle. Christ is not the one who wins the power struggle. He's the one who loses it. Christ is not the undefeated champion. He is the suffering servant, the broken one who comes to glory, wounds still visible. Those are not my words. Those are Barbara Brown Taylor words, one of the premier preachers of this day. He comes to us as a suffering servant, the broken one, who comes in glory, his wounds still visible for us. Jesus, a stranger, is invited to stay with them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. He was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. May he be known to each of us in the familiar, in our routines, in this place of comfort and restoration. May we recognize the one who comes and walks with us. And may our lives be forever transformed as we respond to God's loving presence with great love for all. Oh God, may it be so. May it be so.